This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. This is our program every week where we try to talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and topical and educational for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And I suppose there's nothing more educational, topical, and important to all of us than the economy. It's something that affects us in our everyday lives in so many ways, and something that affects politics, obviously, the elections. It's just on everybody's mind, and particularly, I think, at this time of year, with holiday shopping in full swing, and what do you call that? Cyber Monday just passed, and whatever they call Friday, when a big shopping Friday. So I thought we would try to get an expert on these subjects to talk to us here, and the very, very well-known and respected person that we are fortunate enough to have as our guest today, who you might be familiar with, is Bert Flickinger III, because not only is he a native, which we're always so happy about, but he has very, very important to us on our sister station, talked to us on BEN many times. And I kind of got the idea, I stole the idea, Bert, from hearing you on BEN not too long ago. So thank you so much for being on Target and welcome.
Thank you, Penny. Always appreciate teaming up.
And I, as we were saying before, it's always good to get back to your roots and family roots and back here in Western New York. So I want to ask you if you would be so kind as to tell our listeners. I asked you what I should call you, and you said consultant, consumer consultant, specialist. I wrote down all the terms, but I thought, okay, let's see, strategic research group, consumer for the consumer industry. But can you explain what that means, what you're doing?
Yes, Penny. With our strategic resource group team, we work all over the world, as far away as New Zealand, all the way back to New York, every major country and continent, from People's Republic of China and Korea, Japan, South Asia, Central Asia, North Asia, and all the major countries and continents in between, on consumer spending, on agriculture, on energy, and everything to do with retail, whether it's in store or online.
You know, it's amazing to me that we would have that all of the places, all of the countries, and actually continents that you're naming would have the same issues, or would have issues that could be we could relate to, or that you could relate to and talk about in something, in having something in common.
And Penny, the most visible early indicator for your knowledgeable listeners is the price of turkeys being up 70% over this past Thanksgiving week.
Yes.
And that's all because of problems from the People's Republic of China, that they didn't control the swine flu and the African swine virus, and that morphed into avian bird flu, where we lost over 70 million turkeys and chickens, starting in mainland China, spreading to Russia and Central and South Asia. And trying to repopulate the pig population after poor animal husbandry, the Chinese lost 150 million pigs, or about half their total national herd. That created pressures that weren't corrected, and they further weren't corrected for chicken and turkey this Thanksgiving. So expect to pay higher chicken, turkey, and pork prices in the year ahead, but wouldn't have all the depth of detail had we not done extensive work in mainland China, including working with the Chinese media networks.
So there's some kind of a rolling effect, that's not the word I'm thinking of, but how something in China, like you're describing, can affect. I didn't even think that people in China, okay, I'm so dumb, ate turkeys. I thought it was like almost the most, a totally American food. I don't know, turkey and apple pie and pumpkins, but it's amazing to me that the production, that one, something that can happen in all the far away like that can affect us. But I guess that's how you have an overall picture or develop an overall picture of the economy worldwide, by something like that.
And Penny, your listeners are highly intelligent like you are, and you're right that typically turkey's not a consideration in the mainland China diet, and chicken only became a consideration when they lost 150 million of their 300 million pigs. But then that put pressure on the worldwide chicken supply, and then poor animal health and safety practices led to spreads, first the pig population, then the chicken population, then the bird population, then the turkey population. And what's worse, Penny, is that the Chinese were fined for their pigs, the farmers who, for their pigs that died of disease. So not wanting to pay the fines, they dumped the diseased pigs in the Chinese rivers, hurting, impairing the water quality, and even worse, as worse, impairing the quality of irrigation. So the crop harvests in mainland China, as well as Russia and other areas of the world, South America and parts of Australia, because of drought and poor practices in China and Russia, we've got a food crisis. So your outset, Penny, you astutely referenced that inflation's going up. Well, the good news is that oil and energy prices are starting to correct down in the consumer's behavior. But at the same time, energy is going up. The price of agriculture, grains, fruits and vegetables and livestock is going up. So there's an offset. So the consumer's not getting a deflationary benefit in 2022, and probably not fully until the end of crop year 2023 and the harvest of crop year 2023.
This is, I know the word I was trying to think of. It's a vicious cycle. That's what I was trying to say before, you know, like how one thing affects the other. And when you got to two of our favorite subjects here in the United States, anyway, at this point. One is the price of gas, and to know why, to understand, for a consumer to understand, it's beyond me. It's beyond me how they can come up with a price. One week it can be. No, one day. It can change in one day. When I'm talking about like gas for the car, and I'm sure the same thing is with energy, with, you know, gas for the planes or trucks or whatever. How does that happen? How do they set the price?
They set the price on supply and demand. For example, there's a lot of inexpensive Canadian oil. Close of trading. This week, oil from Canada can come in at $49 a barrel. So the owners of Quickfill and Red Apple gas stations blend Canada and U.S. North American oil to reduce the prices, and then the competitors follow. And in addition to that, the president's importing oil from Venezuela to increase the U.S. supply. And then the wild card is the pipelines that, in my professional view, Warren Buffett, the prior owner of the Buffalo News, has a near oligopoly in central U.S. railroads. So he's, in my professional view, price gouging an extra $6 to $12 a barrel for oil on his railroads and blocking pipelines, which is much more cost effective and efficient. So while our energy prices in the Buffalo, Niagara, Western New York region are going down, they're not going down as much as in the other parts of the Middle Atlantic regions that do have pipelines. So Buffett's not able to price gouge with his railroad monopoly or oligopoly. And certainly in the South and the Intermountain region, prices are much more competitive and less competitive as California is less competitive as Californians competing with supply with mainland China and Japan and certainly Korea.
And was it you that told me a few minutes ago that it is going to get better in the coming year, or was it you that said it's not going to get better, the prices?
Penny, it is going to get better. First in energy, prices will continue to come down as we get past the Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa season into the new year. Agriculture prices, just based on short inventory, short supply, and then the war in Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus, were anywhere from 20% to 50% of grain, sunflower oil, and wheat and some fertilizer come from, depending upon the respective area. So food prices will remain elevated through crop year 2023, which ends next fall, and then in the harvest season, and then potentially agriculture between fruits, vegetable, and livestock can remain elevated going into the presidential election year of 2024.
I just wasn't going to ask you this, but you're saying politics might have something to do with this.
Politics may have something to do with it. On the other hand, there's entrepreneurship. So if you look at the Newman brothers who founded NOCO with their family, they're working on sustainable energy and all types of energy to be more cost efficient. You look at what David Bauer and his great team are doing in natural fuel gas to increase energy. And then also you look at what Tops Friendly Markets, BJ's Wholesale Club, Target, and others have done with solar power, where the power per panel is very cost effective, and the power per inverter that converts the panel to electricity, the power per inverters increased substantially while the cost has gone down. So the president's initiated a continuation of the Senator Schumer, President Trump bipartisan sustainable energy federal investment tax credits that was extended, and it was a smart move by Senator Schumer, Speaker Pelosi, and President Trump. It was the only thing they really did, Penny, on a bipartisan basis in January 17. But they thought, I think correctly, that it was unfair for the oil and natural gas industry to get a depletion allowance of over 20%. So they did the same thing for solar and renewables, and that's significantly decreased cost to consumers. So, for example, Amazon's Brittany Stanton and Greg Michelson have said that Amazon's taking the solar savings and directly reducing prices to raise the standard of living for people who shop at Amazon, and Tops is doing the same, as is BJ's Wholesale Club, as is Target, who are the co-leaders of solar and renewables, of using that money to keep prices low and taking them even lower.
So that's a good thing. I mean, that's a good thing that bipartisanship can sometimes work, but very rarely. I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in. You're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and our conversation today is with Bert Flickinger III, who is, I don't know if president, I'm making it up, president, CEO,
yes.
Of Strategic Research Group. And as we told you before, we're so proud, a Buffalo native that is now working in a group that has influence all over the world. And so I hope, Bert, I hope you tell everybody you're from Buffalo. Do you?
Hey, absolutely. and Penny is still a big booster of women's and men's sports, like you are, Penny, from the high school level to college. Becky Burke turning around the UB women's basketball team, and Reggie Witherspoon doing the same thing for the men's at Canisius and Niagara Bonnet. Emma Ruggiero did to take women's hockey to the top at Buffalo State, and certainly the Niagara Purple Eagles and Bonnet And obviously the Bills, the Sabres, and the Bandits, real credit. And the leadership in Buffalo sports, taught to me by my father, Bird Flickinger Sr., was look at the leadership of Armin Castellani bringing Calvin Murphy to Niagara and taking them to greatness, and Taps Gallagher and Frank Layden and Jim Boeheim and his family, and the leadership in Buffalo sports from Lou Saban and the Bills, and late great Dr. Frank Ramsey of the Buffalo Braves, and all the great coaches in the Buffalo city schools, both public and private, and same for Erie and Niagara counties. That leadership translates into 43 North in Buffalo, and tremendous entrepreneurial growth by women, men, young women, young girls, and the United Nations of people of color, backgrounds, religions, and newly arrived to the U.S. or second generation, third generation. Buffalo's got a great entrepreneurial engine and fantastic natural resources and family planning, regional planning and international planning that my sister, Catherine Flickinger Schweitzer, is doing with the Baird Foundation, and what Dr. Adnan Siddiqui and Dr. Nick Hopkins and their team is doing with Jerry Jacobs at the Buffalo Medical Institute for innovation, engineering, entrepreneurship, and neuro and vascular surgery. The Buffalo Niagara region, after nearly 70 years of continuing contraction, Penny, in terms of population and jobs and corporate headquarters, Buffalo's gone through a requiem in the last year and will go through a requiem this decade going through 2029 as it becomes one of the real economic powerhouses both in North America as well as worldwide.
Oh, I love to hear that, especially from an expert. It makes me feel so good, and our listeners too. And what a Buffalo booster, Bert. Going back so many years and generations of family that really cared. So it really matters, though. We're so happy we have you and your family here in Western New York. I want to talk about materialism, but my favorite subject. I work to support my shopping habit. That's the sign that I have on my desk. So I work to support my shopping habit. So now the season, and you know, I've got a chance to talk to you. What do you see happening with it? I can't decide whether inflation and the prices are going to hurt the shoppers, or they're going to shop anyway because of the pent up demand. You know, especially after going through all of the COVID years when you couldn't go into the stores, you couldn't shop, you had to shop online if you were shopping, and I don't know if people were as motivated during those years as they are now. What do you think to spend money and to have a good holiday?
Penny, the holiday from a retail and U.S. and regional economic standpoint will be good, not great. Particularly, you're completely correct on the cost of inflation mitigating some purchases. That said, my father, Bert Flickinger Jr., and Armin Castellani always used to say, poor people and working people need a bargain. People who are better off love a bargain. And the Buffalo, Niagara, and Southern Ontario shoppers are some of the smartest shoppers we've seen at Strategic Resource Group anywhere worldwide. So they're outsmarting the stores. They were out there spending Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and earlier last week on Cyber Monday. At the same time, they know the Target's got 35% more unsold inventory than it had at the same time last year. Walmart, 25% unsold. So you'll have the best bargains in history as shoppers wait through the Hanukkah, Christmas, and Kwanzaa season, and by the end of December, and certainly into the new year. But that said, sales should be up 5 to 6% on a dollar basis and on a unit basis because of the important inflation you referenced. Penny, inflation adjusted unit sales will be approximately the same as last year, but dollar sales positive plus up to an all-time record.
Oh, well, I'm helping. Believe me, I'm doing my part. But I find that there may be, I want to talk about this supply chain issue, because that people are worried, and actually I found this with one of my shopping days recently, that especially after Black Friday, it seemed like the shelves were like empty, and I was worried about that they would be getting new supplies, but that they would be able to get more supplies.
And Penny, you're raising the most important point between in-store and online. The shelves are empty or barely stocked, as you referenced, and part of that is the retailers, to pay higher wages, have cut the number of positions and or cut the number of hours scheduled to work per worker per week. So they may have the inventory in the warehouse or they and or the back room, but they don't have enough people to stock the shelves. And Penny, that's why this season for key holidays, you used to see online shopping be about 15%, and in-store, obviously, the rest, 85%. What my alma mater, PricewaterhouseCoopers, was director of the worldwide consumer consulting practice. Pricewaterhouse is forecasting that about 50 to 57% in that range, probably 55 to 57%. Will be purchased online because of the out of stocks you referenced in store. And then consumers are obviously concerned about inflation, as you referenced, plus crime, plus COVID, plus the respiratory diseases, infections that are sweeping through the elementary schools now. So people to get what she or he intended to buy are often going to the internet first and to the store second. Store, the majority of the purchases still tend to be in store for both clothes and shoes. And the CDC reported during the pandemic, 19.2% of all children between the ages of 2 and 19 were either overweight or obese, 67% of women, 73% of men. So people need larger sizes, and that really helps stimulate record customer counts on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. People buying clothes especially, and the resurgence of JCPenney bouncing back successfully from bankruptcy, having great deals on especially on clothes, as did Macy's, as did Kohl's.
I know another reason why people are had gained weight, or you know, during COVID, because they weren't active. I never thought about until you said it. I'm kind of laughing to myself about the idea that people having to go out and buy bigger sizes. I don't know. It just makes me laugh. I know it shouldn't, but I think one of the reasons was because they were, nobody could be active. I mean, you couldn't go out, and it was hard to exercise, and you weren't moving around. And I think people were, and also eating more because they were home and stuck, and makes comfort food, you know, that kind of thing. So it's probably, I never thought about that. But as far as the big sellers this year, it's going to be clothes, and what about electronics? Everyone's always talking about that's the hardest thing to get, the supply chain, the biggest, you know, and they're always upgrading and changing the electronics, so you have to get the newest, the most modern, and so forth.
After gift cards, the perennial number one for the holidays, which is about 57% of all people shopping for gifts give gift cards, and then 55% for clothes and 50% for toys. People are waiting and postponing consumer electronics purchases, and a lot of that, Penny, is catalyzed by Apple. To your point, not having the new Apple products in stock, either Best Buy and or the Apple stores or Target or anywhere else. So shortage of consumer electronics, and there's tremendous deflation or disinflation on the cost of computers and laptops and iPads and other handheld devices where people spent significantly to upgrade during COVID correctly, as you referenced well, while they were home. TVs and consumer audio and electronics will still be a big factor, about 40% of all purchases, but not quite as high as last year because people focused on consumer electronics first while they were at home during the pandemic, and postponed purchases on clothes. And also on clothes, people re-gifted or uptrended in their own brothers and sisters and parents and family and friends' closets and closed doors at home, and then went to Goodwill, Salvation Army, the spiritual related thrift shops are in the Buffalo Niagara region. So clothes would be even higher if some of the stats that the government doesn't report weren't shifting to pre-owned clothes for both better quality and some amazing discounts with 98% to 99% less than the original price.
That's so interesting. I have to thank you so much. And you know why people didn't need clothes? Because there was nowhere to go and nobody to see you.
Right.
So I think all they were doing, as far as I know, is selling like pajamas or sweatsuits. Thank you so much for talking to us. It was really a pleasure. Bert Flickinger from Strategic Research Group, and Bert Flickinger III, our very own and pride, very own local businessman who has made it and succeeded worldwide. And we thank you so much for talking to us, and have a good holiday, and thanks for all the good information. And thanks everybody for listening. Please join me again next week, same time, same station. Bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.